We hit 4 o'clock on this Monday. Another Monday talking about garbage football. The New York Jets lose. The New York Giants lose. The season will mercifully end in 3 short weeks. We talked to the great Joe Beningo in his Monday call-in with Evan and Tiki. Is brought to you by Approved Oil. Visit freezetherate.com. HL Gross Jewelers of Garden City. Total Orthopedics, the experts at getting you back to being you. And by Audi Manhattan, where luxury meets excellence. Bro, how you doing, man?
I've been better. It's not exactly been the greatest sports week of my life. as you well know, I mean, it's been a freaking disaster.
Let me ask you this then, based on that, because I was thinking about this last night in regards to the baseball decisions.
Yep.
I'm too young for the Midnight Massacre.
Right.
How would you compare the 24-hour period of losing Diaz and Alonso to that famous night?
Well, I really look at it in three different segments, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look at this. I said this the other day, and I can't use the words I used, but it's 50 years of Met management basically screwing the fans. And that's what we've gotten, okay? Let's be honest about it. It started with that M. Donald Grant, you know, the Seva thing, Dave Kingman's M. Donald Grant and McDonald doing what they did with Seva. And it took them, you know, that was, you know, I felt violated. Honestly, I felt violated, right? I was 24 years old. I felt like I was violated. And it took them 8 years, whatever it was, to really get back again. 84, Davey Johnson, you know, bringing Keith here, Darryl, Doc, all of that. So that took until that, about 8 years there. Then the second time I felt that way, you know, now we got the Wilpons and Doubleday and, of course, Frank Cashin, and he dismantles the 86 championship team. Ray Knight goes, Lenny Dykstra gets traded, they trade Darling, they trade Mookie, they trade Mitchell, they eventually dump Darryl. So that's the second time, and I was about 37 years old, right? Major violation, painful. I mean, I can't even tell. When Darryl signed with the Dodgers, I can't tell you where my head was at. I mean, very close. I cried with Seva when I saw him on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a Red, and I was just, you know, beyond with Darryl in 1990. And now we fast forward to me being 72, okay, into 2025. And now, I mean, it's like, what are we doing here? We dismantled our baseball team, okay, that basically was a fix the pitching staff away from being a contender in the National League. I mean, let's be honest about it. That's pretty much it. And I am so disgusted. I am so down. Well, you know how I feel about Stearns. But I'm even more aggravated with the owner because he sold us a bill of goods, bro. And I really, this is what gets me more than anything. You know, Uncle Stevie, all his money, the Wilpons, it'll never be like this again, and on and on and on. And now we're like we're the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah.
What?
Joe,
this is all about money, Teak.
Yeah,
all
absolutely.
100%. Money.
I think he's tired of spending $340, $350 every year. What does he need to do, though, to make it feel less
violated?
Dire. Yeah, violated.
Win a championship this year, and that's not going to happen.
Right.
There's nothing he could do. He has ripped my heart out with a lot, especially Alonso, obviously Diaz, even Nimmo. I mean, what are you kidding me? Ripped our hearts out. And if I'm Juan Soto, what am I thinking? And now you're telling me that they're shopping Lindor? They're shopping Lindor? What? Lindor now has become an iconic Met. I mean, he's kind of moved up. Maybe he's not what Pete quite was because he wasn't homegrown, but he has now moved into that area.
What scares me about what you said, and I was doing it with some of the other guys too, not on the same level, but Jose Reyes, Edgardo Alfonso, Zach Wheeler. Again, not saying they're on the same level, but guys
Daniel
who...
Daniel Murphy. DeGrom. Wait a minute. You are the biggest DeGrom guy
know.
There is.
Well, that one still
How
kills me.
How about him?
The thing I'll tell you why I'm not including DeGrom. You'll see my point.
Because he wanted to leave. DeGrom wanted out.
No, it's not even that. It's that
I agree with that,
those
Joe.
Guys that you mentioned, it then followed with bad seasons. A lot of them.
Okay.
6.5 losing seasons.
Right.
By the way, you're listening to WFAN. WFN-FM, WFN-FM, HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
But that was like, that's what I'm saying about Seaver
right.
And
the
dismantling of the 86.
Right. So that's my point. So with those right. guys, with Darryl, with Seaver, even with Alfonso for a few years and right. Reyes for a few years,
right.
it followed with losing seasons. At least in DeGrom's case, a year right. and a half later,
that's true.
They're in the NLCS.
That's
and
true.
That's the thing that cannot happen here. Like, this is bad and this sucks, and you're right. There's nothing the offseason is going to bring that's going to give me, you, and many others optimism, but they better freaking win. And I have a little bit more hope that they can with some of the guys on this roster than those past examples.
I mean, how do you see that, though?
Well,
my question is, how do you see that? How do you see them winning with this roster?
The only way they win with this roster, Teak, is if all these young guys, specifically the pitchers, because I think that the master plan for the little geniuses, and I really believe this, I think the master plan is he's not going to spend any money on starting pitching. He's going to go to war with the three kids, McLean, Tong, and Sproat, and then Clay Holmes, and then either Manaea or Peterson, somebody like that. Maybe he'll get one nondescript starter, low-level starter. And that's going to be the rotation, bro. I'm telling you, I really believe
it. So here's what I think they're doing, and I'm not saying I love it, so don't take it like I'm endorsing it.
Right.
I think they want to spend on short-term contracts unless the guy in their minds is generational, like Juan Soto, or even Yamamoto, who they made a 10-year offer for, or maybe Skubal. So that when they sign Jorge Polanco for $20 million...
Right. It feels like Skubal, they're waiting for next year.
He's a free agent. Like, I think that their attitude is going to be... Pete Alonso's, we're not giving him 5 years. Jorge Polanco, perfect. 2 years, we'll pay him a lot of money, he's fine. And they're going to be interchangeable with all of these pieces.
Million, then it would have had to gave Pete. Think about that.
No, over a long
million left.
Over a long period of time. I'm saying I think they're going to buy short-term players and only go long-term on the guys that they love. And that's what I think the vision is. Not saying I like it. That's what I think they're doing.
See,
unless it's a generational guy. Unless it's Juan Soto or Tarik Skubal. It's not worth it to David Stearns.
Well, I mean, but I go beyond. To me, Stearns is just, part of the equation here. And I really think he brought him in here to be a small market general manager and run the Mets that way. And I really think he said, okay, I'm going to spend the big money on Soto. We came within 2 games of the World Series last year. I'm going to spend the big money on Soto, gambling that's going to put us over the top and in the World Series. And then when that didn't happen, I think he was already thinking this way. I think he's put so much money in these casinos. All right, let's really look at it this way. He's, this whole casino thing, how much money is he sinking into that project? You know what I'm saying, bro?
To me,
that's the bottom line. And now he's going cheap on the baseball team.
Hey Joe, I believe it because remember last year when the Red Sox moved off of all of those players, they started shipping guys out.
Right.
One of the things that I kept talking to, and Evan was not paying attention, he was going glassy eyed because he doesn't follow European soccer.
Neither does Joe, by the way.
Well, I know, the point is, Joe, Fenway Sports Group, which owned the Red Sox, also owned Liverpool. And they spent $500-600 million in transfers.
Interesting.
In Liverpool. So you can't spend it everywhere.
Right.
And so it's kind of similar in a different way. It's not sport to sport, but it is casino to sport. It's still one man's money. You know what I mean? And you can only invest so much
in
a baseball team if you're going to invest non-public money, because it's all his money, into a casino. Those things aren't cheap, man.
No.
Especially in New York City.
Of course.
You might be right, Joe. This might be just a let's hold in place year because I have a lot of other expenses and another business that I have going on.
And hope that the young guys in their farm system, because Stearns talks up the farm system, that we got a great farm system, and the hope that the three pitchers I mentioned, that this guy Bench, or whoever his name is in center field, I guess I'm going to know soon enough, Jet Williams, and the guys like Vientos and Beatty and Alvarez, even maybe a guy like Mauricio, eventually come through and save the little genius. I think that's what he's banking on. Bro, he's not. You think he's going to sign Kyle Tucker
no,
or,
he's
or
not.
Cody Bellinger?
He's not. No.
It's not happening.
No.
It's not happening.
I think it's going to be a lot of what they just did with a Jorge Polanco. Big money, short-term contract for decent players.
Right.
That's what I'm expecting.
That's
and,
right.
And they may make a big trade the next day or two, but not a trade that's going to really change the face of the franchise.
Well, if they trade Lindor, I'm going to be delirious.
No, I don't
I'm
think.
Li- beyond.
I don't
they
think
getting Wilson Contreras or someone like that.
No, I think that they're talking to the Padres, and it's not about Lindor, and it's not even about Tatis, but reportedly offering Jonah Tong and David Peterson and Mark Vientos to get some of their pieces, like Mason Miller, the flame-throwing closer who the Padres got last trade deadline.
Another overrated relief pitcher.
Adrian Morajon, a left-handed relief pitcher.
Yeah, he just throws
gas,
that's all.
Let me keep throwing those below-average relief pitches in there. And don't forget, we have Devin Williams as our closer.
The one thing.
What a disgrace.
The one thing about overrated relief pitchers.
You can be happy you're not a Met fan.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'd be like you, Joe. It's a disaster.
63 years of hosing. Let me tell you. We think the Jets are bad. Go ahead, right,
keep in mind about overrated relievers, because I remember us being on the air not exactly loving it at the time. They turned their top prospect into an overrated reliever named Edwin Diaz, and we wanted to run him out of town after the first year.
The only thing I'll say about Diaz is that he did have this monster year for Seattle the year before.
He did. And Mason Miller's had a couple of good years,
okay,
too.
Okay, let me see him beat Diaz. But anyway, but be that as it may.
No, it's funny that would be the kind of trade that they would make, where it'd be like the Diaz trade 6 years later. Now, God knows if Mason Miller can handle New York.
Without getting Robinson Cano. No.
Without getting Robinson Cano. What'd you think of the Jet game yesterday?
What did I think? I mean, come on, it was a disaster. You know, the one moment that really, again, you know, even as bad as they are, and they're going to go 3-14, and how much better it is New Orleans Saints all of a sudden, but whatever. They're going to go 3-14, whatever the deal may be, and we'll get to the firing of Steve Wilks. Calling that punt return back for on a penalty, that was a disgrace.
Yeah.
There was no need to make that call. And even after, the ref, the officials, like, they talked for a little while. I'm looking at them. I'm saying, are they going to pick this flag up? And I bet you that was disgust. I mean, come on. Did you really? I mean, they would have won the game anyway.
Joe, you know what I was thinking? You know what I was thinking? When they were discussing that? I thought the same thing when they were talking around discussing it. They were like, is this going to make a difference? Are the Jets going to get back into this game if we pick this thing up? And so it was just kind of like, don't call it. You can call those on any punt return.
Right.
It was
that's
frustrating.
Right. That's right. That's what really got me crazy. Look, the defense is a disaster, and they could get rid of everybody on this defense. Maybe you want to keep the kid Thomas. I know he's hurt. He's not going to play the rest of the year. The kid Malachi Moore, all right, those are not first round, but they were draft choices this year.
Right.
Now, you want to hold on to a guy like that, those guys like that. Anybody else, they can get rid of. Now, they got rid of Wilks, and I have two names for the defensive coordinator, all right? Two guys. The first guy, and I don't think he'd ever would I don't know what Aaron Glenn's would feel about him, is Wink Martindale. Now, with what's happened at Michigan, he was a D coordinator at Michigan. I'm sure he's free to do whatever he wants after the disaster that happened over there. So he'd be my first guy. Got something to prove. You know, it didn't end well with the Giants. He's got a lot, veteran guy with the Ravens, all of that. He'd be a guy. But here's the guy I think I really want. And that's Bart Scott.
Is he interested in this?
Well, apparently, I've been told by my guys, because my phone I get text off the hook by the group that the Jet Met fan group, if you will. Apparently, he does his radio. I guess he still does a radio show. I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Yep.
He said he'd do it for $1 million a year. That's what he said.
Okay. But how much do coordinators usually make, Teak? Is that know. Like right around there? Or is that more?
That's the high end.
Oh, so he wants to be.
I would give it to him. I think, bro. I watched the post game show. Bart knows what he's talking about.
Of course,
he
does.
This is a guy.
I mean, he played the game, man. He played it at a high level. He was great at it.
And look, he played for Rex. This is the when Rex took over, Teak. If you remember this, he was the first free agent he signed was Bart Scott.
Right.
He was there waiting in his house to sign him. And Bart wasn't the greatest line. I mean, as far as on the field, he was a solid player,
but he was a great leader. Great leader.
There you go.
Unbelievable
100%.
Leader.
100%. And he knows football. He knows defense. Hey, I think he'd get along with Aaron Glenn. I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know if there's a relationship there. Mm. But boy, I really like him. I would seriously consider Bart Scott.
What concerns me about Aaron Glenn, besides the fact that the last 2 weeks they've completely no-showed.
Yes, I'm concerned about right. him. But he's coming back next year. That's the bottom line.
And he should, because I think if this organization...
He deserves another year.
And also, if they fire him after 1 year, this will be a toxic franchise. Who the hell would want to take the job?
Nobody will want the job at
all. Right.
Look, but the other thing, and I think I said this in the chat, Evan, we haven't brought it there yet, but one of the things that you worry about with young head coaches, and Aaron Glenn falls into this case, and so does Darren Mooji as the general manager.
Right.
It is hard to build a competent and good staff because you just don't know enough people to go hire the right guys. And Steve Wilks is a name that everybody knows, but he's failed a lot in the NFL, dude. Everywhere he's been.
He's been a lot of one and dones.
Yeah, you know? He doesn't last. And so you hire him because who else are we going to hire? He's got some experience, and I know him a little bit, so let's hire the dude. But you can't run an organization like that because he's not good enough. And then ultimately, the team suffers because of it. So the thing I worry about with Aaron Glenn now and Darren Mooji and really this Jet organization is who the heck are they hiring? You know what I mean? Like, who can they get? Who do they have a relationship with and can talk into being a good defensive coordinator for them? That's challenging.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great guy. I really do. I really like Bart a lot.
I mean, Bart's interesting. But he's never done it. So it's like first time DC. People were saying the same thing with Antonio Pierce with the Giants, Joe. And it's like AP was a good interim head coach. Yeah. He's never been a DC before. Right. He's never put game plans like that together.
I really like Antonio Pierce. I think he's a very tough guy.
Right.
Look, I mean, I know it didn't really work out when all was said and done with the Raiders, but I like him. He deserves another shot to be a head coach.
Agreed.
It is concerning that two of the big decisions Aaron Glenn has made, and Darren Mooji for that matter, is hiring Steve Wilks as DC failure and thinking that Justin Fields.
Well, that's the big one.
Right. That's a huge one, bro. Yeah.
That's the one that really killed the year. There's no doubt about it. You know, not even – look, they shouldn't have got – you know how I felt about Rodgers. Should never let him go. Whatever. They did what they did, but they brought the wrong guy in, putting their stock in Justin Fields. And, you know, that was the big mistake. And I blame Glenn more than Mooji. I really think that was Glenn's guy that he wanted to bring in here. I like Mooji. I mean, so far – I mean, all I'm saying – I mean, I'm watching this draft. The Colts lose again. Good effort by Phillip Rivers yesterday. But the Colts lose again. I mean, that pick's going to get better.
I mean, I would think so, yeah.
I mean, you're looking at a top 15 pick, I think, when all is said and done. And I want to say this, too, about the draft. We're sitting at number 5 right now. I'll ask this of you again, Tiki. If the Giants get the first pick in the draft, do you think John Mara would have any issue making a big trade with the Jets?
No, I don't. Especially if you're going to get 5, as it currently sits, 5 and maybe whatever, another first rounder, whether it's this year or next year, because you have 2 next year as well.
Right.
No,
right.
You have 3 next year, right?
We got 3 next year.
Indy, Dallas, and their own.
I would give up. I tell you, tell me if you think this is fair, Teak. Now, let's say the Jets wind up where they are now, 5, okay?
Yeah.
I think they're going to get lower because I don't think they're going to win another game. But whatever. You know, the other teams, I mean, the Raiders play the Giants. That's going to be a big game.
Right.
Because the Raiders are taking Mendoza, in my mind.
Right. Because they need him.
They need a quarterback. They're taking him. I would give him. I would give the Giants 2 number. You know, obviously flipping number ones this year. They get our other number one this year. They get a number one next year, and we give them a 2 both years. Is that enough?
I mean, absolutely, it's enough. If you love Fernando Mendoza that's what it's going to take to get the one. Somebody's going to come to one with that kind of offer. That's for sure. The problem. For the other teams outside of the Jets, Joe, is they don't have the assets. They can't do it.
That's it. That's right.
The Jets can do it and actually still have a lot of draft picks.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
But here's my plan B, though, Teak. If we can't get Mendoza, okay, all right, I don't want to force feed taking any quarterback. I mean, unless you're telling me that you're in love with Dante Moore or Ty Simpson, No. I would then say, okay, let's say we got 5 and 18 where the Colts are now.
Right.
I would take depth. Well, I would take the 2 best defensive players on the board.
Right.
That's
exactly
what I would take.
The two impactful players.
Right. I don't care what position they're
going to lose talent. Quincy Williams feels like he's not the same player anymore.
Right. Well,
you know what I mean? You got torched by Travis Etienne.
I told you they could get rid of everybody. I mean, Johnson, McDonald, I'm tired of these guys. They didn't even touch Trevor Lawrence.
By the way, there was one good thing out of the game, though.
Which was?
Brady Cook's first touchdown.
Yeah. You know what, Brady?
I'm not even talking about the touchdown, Joe. Did you see his girlfriend?
I saw the parents.
Fiance.
The girlfriend was the brunette, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty good. I have to give you that. His wife, his mother wasn't terrible either.
I know, man. Brady Cook is winning, dude.
But I thought, you know what? I didn't think the kid played terrible. Now, he threw some bad. Interception before the half, the one he threw after they got it, amazingly enough, got a turnover, where he threw it to the guy from Jacksonville. But he threw a touchdown pass. He made a couple throws. I tell you, this kid Mitchell, bro, what is – oh, my God. I look at that Colt trade. You say whatever you want about Darren Mugi. That is one of the great fleecings of a team I've ever seen.
Especially looking at what ended up happening to Sauce already.
Is he playing?
He's hurt.
No, he's hurt.
He's got a calf injury.
He's still out, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't know if he was playing. I knew he got hurt a couple weeks ago. I didn't even know if he was still out or not. How about Quinnen Williams getting an interception last night, right?
Before the Jets. They're not going to get one.
They're not getting one, I'm telling you. Anyway, so that's pretty much where I'm at right now with this team.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think I would only trade up to get Mendoza. That's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, and as much as I like Mendoza, and ultimately push comes to shove, I would trade up like you. Watching this defense concerns me enough where all our picks to just get good football players.
We got to get a quarterback, though, bro.
I know.
Cook's not the answer.
Which is why.
We get to see him three more games, but yeah. I don't think he's the answer.
That's why ultimately you're right. I'll pull the trigger, but the lack of talent on this team,
Evan,
especially
Evan,
on defense.
You're right. You're right, Evan, and it's baffling because think about 2 years ago where we thought this Jet defense was.
Yeah.
Two and a half, three years ago. We thought this Jet defense had a chance to be one of the best in the NFL. Yeah. And 3 years later, it's terrible.
But I'm only trading up for Mendoza, and if they can't get him, I would just stay put. And I would even do this, okay? I would go defense with the first two first round picks, and I take a shot in the second round. I told you I love Pavia. I would take if he's sitting there in the second round, Teak. Even if he's sitting there in the third round, whatever. Yeah. Why not? You take a flyer on him.
Right.
Why not? The only
thing you got to check on him is his size.
He looked tiny.
Next to those guys, you know what, though, bro?
He can play, man.
Oh, of course he can
play.
He played
in the best conference in the country.
No, and he's got a great attitude, or at least a competitive attitude.
Yes.
Even if he's a little bit of punk this past weekend, losing the Heisman. All right. But still, he plays with like an aggressiveness that I think is football.
Him. Yeah.
It's football. And I don't mind it.
I would take a shot at him in the later rounds. Now, I'm going to end with this. I know you guys are short on time, so I'm going to end with this. I am rooting hard tonight for my basketball team to lose to San Antonio. I do not want them to win.
You don't want that banner butt up there, man?
Ridiculous NBA Cup. And you know, I'm going to tell you right now.
It's tomorrow night.
Yeah, by the way, it's not even on regular television. The game's on Prime or something.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's crazy. Give me a break. Anyway.
Well, it doesn't count. It doesn't count for the standings, so whatever. Just put it on Prime.
Well, it does count for the standings, doesn't it?
No. Once you get to the finals, it doesn't count as anything.
This game has no meaning whatsoever.
Zero.
Other than the banner that one of these teams is going to hang.
And we got to pay Carl Anthony Towns another $500,000 because he needs it. Okay?
Right.
Because the NBA players need more money. But anyway, okay, right? So I am rooting. I didn't even know it didn't count. I thought it counted. So we're actually playing 83 games this year.
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. Well, the only other time I rooted against the Knicks was when Bernard King came back to the Garden as a member of the Bullets, and he went for 49 against them because I was so ticked that they had let him go. And he scored like 49, and I was actually thrilled.
But, Joe, you don't want revenge for 99 in the NBA Finals? This wouldn't offer some revenge for you?
Stop it, bro. If they win this and they put – it is a disgrace. And you know they're going to do it. It is a disgrace if they win this and put that stupid banner up there. You got to be kidding me. I pray they don't. I pray they don't do it.
Oh,
is it possible that they wouldn't put it up in your mind?
It is a league rule. And just think about this. It's a league rule.
Oh, come
on. All you need to know
is a league rule for how long? Just for the season?
Couldn't they show us something and
reject it? Right. Can they put it up for like a week?
I don't know the intricacies of that, but here's what I'll tell you. The past two champions put the banner up, and here are the two champions.
Who are the Lakers, right?
The Lakers and the Bucks, who have real banners that they have hung up.
We have real banners, too, but they're growing hair. I mean, you know, we got real feel bad is, but, you know, it's from a different time and space. I mean, come on.
Well, we'll see what happens.
I pray they lose. I'm telling you. And I'm not going to see the game anyway because I ain't paying for it on Prime. I pray they lose the game. Please lose.
Thank you, Joe. Great talking to you, man.
All right,
Appreciate you, Joe.
God bless. All the love.
See you, brother.
Joe Beningo. Yes, tomorrow night, the NBA Cup. We'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow. And it doesn't count, his point. So he can peacefully root against the Knicks without having any negative impact because it doesn't change the standings.
That's true. It doesn't mean anything. It's just a game.
It's
like a practice.
Absolutely. It's a glorified practice. It's a true no biggie kind of night. We'll get back to your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. Plus, we are into the top 10 of 25 and 25, the countdown of the most memorable New York sports moments from the year that was, and our thoughts on what the Mets did over the weekend with Jorge Polanco and why I do not believe the New York Yankees are even in the mix for Michael King. Yo! How we doing, Evan and Tiki, on a Monday in New York City? It is also a little after 4:30, so it is time to check in on 25 and 25, that is the countdown that began last week by the Secret Committee on the most memorable moments from the year that was in New York sports. I was going over the list because I write it down every time it's announced. And according to my calculations, we have had 3 Met moments, 4 Yankee moments, 3 Giant moments, 2 Jet moments, and a couple of hockey moments. So that's where we stand as we enter the top 10 in the most memorable moments in New York sports. So let's get to it. Number 10.
Number 10. The Giants suffer an epic collapse in losing to the Denver Broncos.
Dart in a shotgun set. Scatabue to his left. Dart back. Finds the pocket. Throws it and intercepted. Strand with the interception. Hit at the 20 and tackled at the 19-yard line. The last thing you can do is throw an interception.
This is on the play call, period. The play call. The only thing you do is force the Denver Broncos to use 3 timeouts, keep the clock running, and punt the ball away. It's an inexcusable play call. I don't understand it in any capacity.
There you go. Tiki, a part of the moment. The Giants' epic collapse to the Denver Broncos.
That's the only
Broncos.
Time I've been really pissed off this season. That was the moment. And I love Dave. You guys know this. I didn't want him to get fired. That moment, that pissed me off.
I can hear it in your voice. You're about to get pissed off again about it.
Because it's the worst game management I've ever seen. Seriously.
No, I get you. I think that when we think back to 2025 and the New
York.
That's
the defining play.
100%. The defining game and the defining play. Like, yes. I think this season, and there's been good, especially if Dart puts together this great Hall of Fame career, you know, a few moments ago, and by moments, I mean moment number, I guess it was 13, was tears are shed as the Eagles lose to the Giants. That was a great moment, but it feels like the biggest and most significant moment of this entire Giants season was that epic meltdown against the Broncos.
A game that would have made the Giants 3-4 against a team that might be the best team in the AFC, considering what they haven't lost since, by the way.
Yeah.
At their home, on the road, would have been an epic win and propelled this team, I think, in a completely different direction. And that one stupid play call, and I could see it coming from first down. As soon as first down was over, I could see it coming, and I got so upset.
You are right, by the way. The Giants haven't won since that game, and the Broncos haven't lost since that game.
Right.
Kind of remarkable. The Broncos were in the midst of a winning streak. They had a 3-game winning streak going into that game. Won that game, and then they've won 2, 4, 7 in a row since. Mm-hmm. That's unbelievable. They've won 10 in a row, the Denver Broncos. 11 right. in a
11
row.
In a row.
11 in a row. Anyhow, certainly a worthy moment. I would argue it should be higher than 10, but hey, let's hear the rest of the list before we cry about it. Here is number 9.
Number 9. An active draft day sees the Giants select Abdul Carter and trade up to draft Jackson Dart.
This is the Giants draft room right now. They've already taken Abdul Carter, the standout edge rusher from Penn State, with a 3rd overall pick tonight. Now, they have Russell Wilson in their quarterback room. They have Jameis Winston in their quarterback room. But still need a long-term quarterback, and they just made a trade with the Texans.
The Houston Texans have traded the 25th pick to the New York Giants. With the 25th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Jackson Dart, quarterback, Mississippi.
They love Jackson Dart.
Hadi Tadi Gashamadi, another Ole Miss quarterback going to New York. Eli Manning, of course, from Ole Miss.
There you go. An epic, epic night. Abdul Carter early, Jackson Dart late. And it was one of those rare days, Teak, where you come in the next day and it was universal that Giant fans were pumped up about what happened in the NFL draft.
That's exactly what I wanted to happen. You know, we talked about it leading up to that week. Take the generational, potentially generational, because obviously it's up to debate, potentially generational defensive player. There was a couple of them available. And then trade back in and get Jackson Dart. That's what I wanted. I didn't love Cam Ward. I didn't love Shador Sanders. I didn't love most of this quarterback class. But Jackson Dart was intriguing. And I thought you maybe could have got him in the second round, but trading back up in the first, to make no doubt about it, was the perfect thing move to make for the New York Giants.
So now I'm keeping score at home. We've got eight more moments to go. So far, three Mets, four Yankees, three Jets, two hockey, five Giants. So far the Giants have been the most impactful team, but I do think the Knicks will have their voices heard.
The Knicks are going to enter the chat very soon.
I think so. I think they're so...
I mean, they have to, right?
They're so impactful. They didn't waste a round being moment number 12.
Yeah, there's three moments that are musts on this list. The committee would have gotten it wrong if these three moments are not here in the top seven, which is all we have left.
All right. Yeah, we'll see. Top eight. We have eight left. I do think the Knicks are going to dominate because there are a lot of impactful, memorable moments that should certainly be a part of it. All right, real quick before we get to your calls, thoughts on the Mets and the Yankees from over the weekend. Number one, the Jorge Polanco signing is fine. That was my first reaction to it. He's a good ball player at 25 home runs last year, switch hitter, equal from both sides of the plate. It's a reasonable contract on a two-year deal. I think the problem is, and you just heard Joe earlier, he will not be able to do this. I am trying to do this, which is I got to move on as angry as I am. And I also can't view Polanco as an Alonso replacement. Offensively, and I went over this on the Rico last night, his numbers mirror Brandon Nimmo. So if he's replacing anybody offensively in this lineup, it's probably Brandon Nimmo. And what I want from Polanco, and obviously the rest of the roster coming together will play a say in this, I don't want him to be the first baseman. That will piss me off because it will feel like hypocrisy that we're talking about run prevention, and then the guy who plays first base is a guy who's never played the position before.
Right.
So I would, if he's the everyday DH who can occasionally play second or occasionally play third or even occasionally play first, that's fine. But if he ends up being the most of the time first baseman, that would annoy me.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like he's going to be a DH, potentially the DH, and then they're going to do something else to get the first baseman. Whether or not, we mentioned it earlier with Wilson Contreras, as conversations are happening around that. But it just feels like they can't have him play first base. He's only done it, what, one game?
Yeah, and it doesn't even qualify as an inning, according to Baseball Reference. But I think, honestly, when you are making a painting, that was the reference we've used a lot, like, hey, there's feces on this painting, but eventually it'll be a painting, and we'll decide what it looks like come early March. You acquire guys with the flexibility of, he could fill this role, he could fill that role. So I think there's a chance, if the market for acquiring first basemen doesn't work out the way they expect, that he does play a lot of first base, which, again, I would not like. But I also think there's a possibility where he does end up DHing a lot, which is the role I think that fits him best because, A, he's been injury prone over the years. Well, I got a novel concept. If you play positions less and you mostly just hit, doesn't that make you less likely to get hurt?
Yeah. Yeah, you would think so. Right?
Voila!
Don't overthink it.
Don't overthink it.
Put him in a position to contribute where he's best and stay healthy.
The other quick thing about Michael King. Michael King is currently being linked, according to Ken Rosenthal, to the Orioles, the Red Sox, and the Yankees. As far as why the Mets aren't connected, the only thing I can guess is that they don't want to give up the draft pick associated with the qualifying offer.
Right.
I would disagree with that. More on that later. As far as the Yankees are concerned, I'll tell you why I don't believe it. I do not believe they're interested in Michael King. I think they're being used. And the reason I believe that is when Jack Curry speaks, you should listen. And Jack Curry on Yankee Hot Stove 2 weeks ago said, you're going to hear the Yankees linked to a lot of players. Most of the time, it's not true. And I think that this is an obvious, obvious use by Michael King and his agent to get the price.
What makes you think that?
Because I don't think the Yankees are going to invest $25 million a year into a starting pitcher. I just don't think they are. I think they want to spend that money on Cody Bellinger. And until Cody's off the board.
And they don't need it. They don't need it.
I think that, like, you're right, but you're wrong. They don't need it on paper. You can always use more starting pitching. And I like Michael King, and the fact that you can move him to the bullpen later on in the season.
Do they need starting pitching?
I think everybody could always need a T. That's how I would answer that. I know that's
You have four bona fide starters.
If they're healthy.
Yeah, but they are healthy. I'm not worried about Cam Schlittler's health. Carlos Rodon, you know, I'm not worried about his health.
He's starting the year injured, though. I have to worry about his health.
Yeah. I mean, Max Fried.
Garrett Cole's coming off of Tommy John.
But you had Tommy John already, so what are we worried about?
The recovery from it.
Yeah. I mean, it's been all season, dude. I'm not worried about the health. I know what you're saying, but I'm not worried about the health. And you have four guys.
If the news came out today that the Yankees were signing Michael King, I think that's a great move for the Yankees. You never have enough starting pitching. I'm not saying I'm against it.
Five starters?
Yeah, why the hell not? Guys get hurt, bro.
Yeah, I guess so.
And King has already shown you he can move to the bullpen. I'm skeptical. Like, I just don't think the Yankees are actually interested or linked to Michael King on this level. I think they're being used. Jack Curry said it. I'm listening to him. There are going to be links to the Yankees that make sense, where you're like, oh, yeah, they're being linked. That's real. I think this is a fugazi link. And we'll find out, right? We're going to find out where he signs. But I have a feeling this is a major smokescreen by Michael King and his agents.
Yeah, I'd be pretty angry if they're rubbing together every penny to either offer Cody Bellinger or Kyle Tucker a contract and turn around and hand it to Michael King when you have more than enough starters on the roster. That would really piss me off.
Right. It seems unnecessary.
Okay. The way you phrase it, Sean, yes. If we're operating under a salary cap where we have to decide how we want to use our funds, I get your point.
Don't we have to operate that way with the Yankees?
That's why if they signed Michael King, I wouldn't be angry because I'd say you just loaded up your pitching staff. You're a better baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're saying this means we're not getting this guy, this guy, this guy, it's a different discussion, but you never have enough starting pitching. So I wouldn't be against it. I just don't think it's actually happening.
Yeah, I'm with you that you can never have enough starting pitching. But right now, if the Yankees are as tight as this, even with those guys not starting, you have four viable starters that are going to be healthy at this moment to start the season. You cannot not have Bellinger or Tucker on this team, period.
Let's get to your calls, 888-808-1019, the number. Angel in the Bronx. What's up, Angel?
Guys, talk to me. What's up, dude? How's everybody?
All's good.
I agree with Evan here. Polanco is just all right. Cool. I feel those numbers definitely resemble memos. My thing is, well, you also mentioned this. I don't like the fact that they're going to bring this guy to play a position he's never played. You might as well just stay with Pete Alonso, and you get the power, because this guy's not hitting 30 home runs, let's be real. We'll be surprised if he even gets to 20 this season.
He had 25 last year. I think his track record is that he's got pop. The issue with Jorge Polanco is staying healthy. That's the biggest issue, which is why it jumps out at me that he should be the designated hitter. Because if he DHs, I feel it's less likely he's going to suffer injuries. This is a guy that's played shortstop throughout his career, recently second base. I would use him. And by the way, this is refreshing as a Met fan, because they haven't had a DH since this rule was applied. I think I mentioned this to you a few weeks ago, that the guy who has DH the most in Mets history is Daniel Vogelbach. Well, that's a problem. So if Jorge Polanco's playing 140 games and he's DHing, and he's even coming close to the numbers he put up last year, which is a .265 average, .820 OPS, and 26 home runs and 78 RBIs, let's freaking go. I mean, as Russell Wilson would say, let's ride.
Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson.
I know. I bring everything back to the Giants. It's obnoxious. Yes, I apologize.
That's your thing, for sure.
Anthony's in Queens. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, how you guys doing?
All's good.
Listen, I need your help. I really need your help. Look, I'm a Mets fan since 99, but I'm ready to move on, right? There's no more Mets. Let's just rename the team, give everybody a chance to decide if they want to follow the new NYC Stearns. and you know, let the Mets fans just rest in peace. You understand how you guys feel about that?
Anthony, I'm going to try to talk calmly to you because I sense even Joe feeling this way. I am angry about the offseason. I don't want anyone to think I am now rationalizing. I'm not. I'm angry. I'm pissed off. I don't like what's happening. But I have been a Met fan for a long time, and I've seen dark places. I've seen a lot of dark places. I've seen hopeless places. I've seen places where Dylan G is my opening day starter. I've seen places where Chris Young is the big outfield addition. Mm. Even with an offseason that is driving us all nuts, they will go into next year with hope. They have a generational talent in Juan Soto. They're not trading Francisco Lindor, even though it could be on the table. And they've got an ace who, when I close my eyes and I just squint a little bit, I see Jacob DeGrom and Nolan McClain. I'm not telling you things are good. I'm telling you things are not nowhere near as hopeless as they've been in years past. So even in an offseason that's driving me to drink, this is still a team that in 2026, when I walk into that building on opening day, I will have more hope of the Mets competing than most other years of my entire life.
Right. The only negativity of the offseason is the emotional side of it.
And they've gotten worse. And they've gotten
worse. Of course they've gotten worse, but it's also a heavy emotional component to this because you wanted to keep Pete Alonso and Edwin Diaz was the best closer. And so it's an emotional reaction. And unlike Joe, who's still trying to get over this, you're kind of already working to get over it. You kind of have to because he's not coming back. Pete's not coming back. He's not putting on a Yankee uniform or a Met uniform ever again. Edwin Diaz is not putting on a Met. Well, maybe he will at some point later in his career, but I doubt it. But you know what I mean? So you got to move forward. You got to accept it and move forward.
And the other thing is, and I touched on this briefly with Joe, when they traded Tom Seaver, they went through 6.5 consecutive losing seasons. I'll include the latter half of the year they traded him. When they let Daryl Strawberry walk away, they stared at 6 consecutive losing seasons. When they let Jose Reyes walk away, 4 consecutive losing seasons.
Right.
I don't see that with this team as angry as I am. Like, the Seaver era created a dark moment in the franchise. When Daryl left, it created a really dark moment in the franchise. Same with Reyes. And there were other factors that went along with it. As pissed off as I am, as devastated as I am, I don't see that dark era.
Yeah.
So I can
pretend
that I do.
There's too many good players. Right. Yes. There's too many other really good players, including, you know, one of the highest paid players. No, the highest paid player in baseball.
Yes. So I'll still be angry at moves I don't like, but I have seen hopeless, Met fans. This is not the hopeless that I think most of us have seen. JR in Somerville. What's up, JR?
Hey, JR.
What's going on, guys? Just calling in. Just say Tiki is correct about Evan trolling all day today. All right, so the first thing's a 2-point conversion. All right, that he would go for a 2-point conversion early, and it reminds me of an existential question that somebody asked on this show I think a couple weeks ago. Would you want to know when you're going to die, or would you want to keep it unknown? So Evan wants to know when he's going to die on the football field. That's crazy to me because you don't want to let your players know when they're going to die. All right? You don't want to be a, you know, you want to have a whole sideline of guys who know that. So, I mean, those are the kind of decisions Dable made. That's why he's not there anymore. So that's the first thing about Evan. The other thing is this idea that the Giants, you know, yeah, they should consider everything, but you know, this is the first time that they can trade down and get the best available player. If anybody goes for Mendoza at one, they're just trying to fill a need, okay? The Giants have the ability to do two things. They have the ability to trade down and get the best available player. You know, I want the interior offensive line replenished. And there's just some other things. But, you know, that's crazy, you know, the whole thing about not considering it. I mean, Mendoza's not that good.
JR, I want to do this for you on social media. So JR is saying the idea of trading Jackson Dart and drafting Mendoza is crazy. Let me tell you something else about JR, who I love. I adore him. He wants to trade Jalen Brunson for Giannis Antetokounmpo. If I put a poll out right now and said, which idea annoys you more, drafting Mendoza and trading Dart or trading Brunson for Giannis, which one would piss more people off, Tiki Barber?
The Brunson. The Brunson one.
Okay. Okay.
For sure. Because, for sure. I mean, we had this conversation already multiple times. Out of all the teams in New York sports, all of them, there's a bunch of them, multiple in every sport, the New York Knicks are the closest to getting to winning a championship. They feel like they have the path, even as constructed, and even with opportunities to, I don't know, upgrade the roster, so to speak, the Knicks are still that team that feels like they can win a championship this year. And, I mean, they're going to win the in-season tournament, so it is what it is. But ultimately, that's why it would be grossly upsetting. Because you'd be undermining that.
So, Tommy, you're uniquely qualified to handle this emotionally. I'm going to give you two ways you could wake up in the morning. Option number one is the Giants are trading Jackson Dart and they're selecting Fernando Mendoza. Our option number two is, congratulations, you got Giannis Antetokounmpo, but you've traded Jalen Brunson. Which morning news coming from your wonderful wife would piss you off more?
Brunson getting traded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, JR, the next time you want to call up and say, what a horrible, oh my God, you're trolling. You troll yourself with the Brunson stuff, even though there's some truth to it. I just want you to know the people will be on my side more than your side.
Yeah, and I just think that Mendoza comes in with a higher... I mean, he won the Heisman. He's going to be the number one overall pick. Dart easily could have not been a first-round pick. You know what I mean? So, like, it's possible that Mendoza is better than Dart. I don't think he will be, but it's possible. There's a possibility of that. I'm not trading Jalen Brunson for anybody. That's really where my stance is at.
More of your calls coming up. Sean's got his Cinco de Fivo list that we may argue about.